able to attain the highest perfection of the renounced order of life, by which nonviolence and renunciation are consequential. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Only the self-controlled can gradually be attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Self-controlled means not indulging in sense enjoyment more than is necessary. And those who are not self-controlled are given over to sense enjoyment. Dry philosophical speculation is a subtle sense enjoyment of the mind. Sense enjoyment leads one to the path of darkness. Those who are self-controlled can make progress on the path of liberation from the conditional life of material existence. The Vedas, therefore, enjoin that one should not go on the path of darkness, but should make a progressive march towards the path of light or liberation. Self-control is actually achieved not by artificially stopping the senses from material enjoyment, but by becoming factually attached to the Supreme Lord by engaging one's unalloyed senses in the transcendental service of the Lord. The senses cannot be forcibly curbed, but they can be given proper engagement. Purified senses, therefore, are always engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. This perfectional stage of sense engagement is called Bhakti Yoga. So those who are attached to the means of Bhakti Yoga are factually self-controlled and can all of a sudden give up their homely or bodily attachment for the service of the Lord. This is called the Paramahamsa stage. Hamsas, or swans, accept only milk out of a mixture of milk and water. Similarly, those who accept the service of the Lord instead of Maya's service are called the Paramahamsas. They are naturally qualified with all the good attributes, such as pridelessness, freedom from vanity, nonviolence, tolerance, simplicity, respectability, worship, devotion, and sincerity. All these godly qualities exist in the devotee of the Lord spontaneously. Such Paramahamsas, who are completely given up to the service of the Lord, are very rare. They are very rare even amongst the liberated souls. Real nonviolence means freedom from envy. In this world, everyone is envious of his fellow being. But a perfect Paramahamsa, being completely given up to the service of the Lord, is perfectly non-envious. He loves every living being in relation with the Supreme Lord. Real renunciation means perfect dependence on God. Every living being is dependent on someone else because he is so made. Actually, everyone is dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord. But when one forgets his relation with the Lord, he becomes dependent on the conditions of material nature. Renunciation means renouncing one's dependence on the conditions of material nature, and thus becoming completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Real independence means complete faith in the mercy of the Lord without dependence on the conditions of matter. This Paramahamsa stage is the highest perfectional stage in Bhakti Yoga, the process of devotional service to the Supreme Lord.
Yatra nirupta sarasaivathira yapohya dehadishu sangam uddham prajanti tat paramahamsyam antyam yasmin ahimso pashama swadharma. So this is describing Sutta Goswami is speaking, and he's he's responding. This is a continuation of the response from the sages at Naimisharanya, who asked him to speak about the Lord, and especially what he heard, because he was present when Maharaj Parikshit was departing. That 7-day discussion, Sutta Goswami was present there. And the sages at Naimisharanya, they wanted to hear what was discussed. They wanted to know. And so before beginning, he's giving a little prelude, and this point is especially applicable to Maharaj Parikshit, because he's saying that a person who's attached, self-controlled, first of all, the word dhira means self-control. Self-control means he controls his self. Oh, self can mean different things. So, atma. Atma refers to this, the soul. It can refer to the intelligence, or to the body, or the mind. So essentially, it means he controls his lower self by his higher self. Higher self, the highest self, is the individual soul, but even higher self than that, because the soul of all souls, Atmatma, is Krishna. One of the names of Krishna is Atmatma. So if we say, what are we? What's the essence of us? Well, it's Vishnu, Krishna. In essence, Vishnu is our heart. He's the soul of all souls. It's like they say, the soul of the company was such and such, or the soul of that band was such and such. That means, without that person, there's nothing of any value there. It's like we say, the soul of the body. When the soul leaves the body, how much is the body worth? Even to the recyclers. We have a recycler here. What will you do with an old body? Yeah, so it's not worth very much, even if you try to recycle it. But when the soul is present, spend whatever we've got, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Sometimes people, they spend huge sums of money to keep the soul within the body. So it's the soul that's the essence. So dhira means one who is self-controlled. And knows he controls his soul. He controls his intelligence. The soul is controlled by the super soul. The intelligence is controlled by the soul. The mind is controlled by the intelligence. Senses are controlled by the mind. And the sense objects are controlled by the senses. So in this way, he's self-controlled. He does everything under the direction of Krishna. He doesn't do anything separate. He has no separate desires. His desires are all dovetailed with the Lord. Dovetailed. Are you familiar with that term? Is everyone familiar with it? A dove has a tail, but what's the unique thing about the tail? It's not just that the dove has a tail. Yes, speak.
It's shaped something like a V, and it comes to a point near the rear end of the dove, and then it spreads out from
the interlocking, a kind of merging together, interlocking, dovetail. In carpentry, also they have some way of doing that. So to dovetail means to combine. We're combining our desires with the desires of the Lord. Yes, question. Further on dovetail.
The sense of dovetail to me means comes into one, or comes into harmony with.
Yes. Comes into harmony.
Comes into one. Harmony, it comes into one.
Speak. It's okay, if you're going to speak into the microphone. I was just wondering about, because we hear dovetail a lot, about dovetailing,
but the actual tail of the dove, it never came to my mind that it's a dove's tail.
Yeah. So, we're the self-controlled person, the dhira. He has dovetailed his desires with the desire of the Lord. Now, a question could be asked, did he make his desires like the Lord's, or are his desires just coincidentally like the Lord's desire? Well, both. Both, because if he's a spontaneous, the word is used here, spontaneous. Huh? Or is it in the purport? Okay. Yes, Prabhupada says somewhere in the purport that he spontaneously...
Can you find that?
Where is it?
About 12 lines up from the bottom of page 319, on the right side next to such.
Okay. Such Paramahansas.
Just before that.
Just before that. All these godly qualities exist in the devotee of the Lord spontaneously. So, his being a devotee of the Lord then spontaneously brings about all good qualities and all good desires too. Before, let's say the person was not a devotee before that, then he had desires, but they were spontaneously for sense gratification. Rupa Goswami says, "My dear Lord, just as young boys are spontaneously attracted to young girls, and young girls are spontaneously attracted to young boys, I pray that I may be spontaneously attracted to you." Isn't this a nice example? Because we all know, an attractive young girl comes in the association of an attractive young boy. It's a spontaneous combustion. You know what spontaneous combustion is? Do you know? Bible? Do you know what spontaneous combustion is? It means that when something comes in contact, in the proximity, in the area of something else, it immediately explodes. Like if you put, what's a very explosive element? If you put gas fumes in the association of a flame, what happens? Explosion. Or a spark. Or some other kind of explosive thing. Or some chemicals. If you mix, on the movies, they always do it on the movies. Now it's a big thing, you know, they've got the person, he's sitting there, he's got one type of chemical in some kind of a vial, right? And he's got another chemical in another vial, and he's threatening that if you do anything to me, I'll put the two together. Have you seen that? Yeah, they do that now. Instead, because he's threatening that not only will I blow myself up, I'm going to blow all of you up too. So he's threatening that if you don't do what I say, I'm going to blow up everything. So that's spontaneous. Just by coming in, when these two chemicals come together, huge explosion. So spontaneous combustion. And that's what happens when a young man and a young woman come together. Spontaneous combustion. But Rupa Goswami is saying, just as this spontaneous attraction, which is inevitable between young boys and young girls, I'm praying that I may be spontaneously attracted to you. This is a wonderful prayer, because that's what we want. We want to be attracted to Krishna spontaneously. We don't like the idea of being forced by rules and regulations. Yum, yum. And sometimes people criticize. They say, oh, you people, look at you. keeping your head down, not looking at the objects of the senses, and, you know, look at the clothes you wear. You're taking yourself away from society. You're only eating certain non-agitating foods, and, you know, so many things you're doing. But why don't you just be free and flow with it? Why are you putting yourself under so many regulations and restrictions? It's not spontaneous. But the devotee responds, it may not be spontaneous now, but wait a while, it'll be spontaneous. Now, I admit it's not spontaneous. I admit, I don't have spontaneous attraction to Krishna. If I were to say I did, I would be telling a lie. I don't have spontaneous attraction, but I know that this is the system, this is the method for coming to the platform of spontaneity. And that will come. If I stick on the path, if I'm sincere, if I'm steady, utsahan nischaya dharyat tatat karma pravartana sangatyagat satovrte shadbhir bhaktir prasidhiti, if I follow these principles, then I will develop spontaneous attraction for Krishna. I have faith. I have confidence. Because I've seen others. There's so many examples in the scriptures, the histories, and even amongst ourselves, amongst our own devotees. God brothers, God said, we see what happens when someone follows the process. They become great devotees of the Lord. Prabhupada called his followers in ISKCON great devotees of the Lord, those who follow strictly. Question?
I have two. One, the first one, when you were saying about how we're hearing about the Paramahamsas and who have spontaneous attraction for serving the Lord and calling out to Him in full surrender. There's also another level. Well, one is that you see among some common people, they may even not be following all the rules. Quite often those people may not be following all the rules and regulations and engage in some sinful activities. But when they are in difficulty, or they may just, they spontaneously take shelter of the Lord, or even they may just appreciate the Lord as they're moving around in the world. In different ways, they see different fruit, like the cobbler, you know, he sees the banyan tree, the seed. And some of these people may even be sinful.
Yes.
And attached to sense gratification. So what about that level?
Therefore, yes, that level is, they are sometimes attracted, and sometimes they're attracted spontaneously to Maya. Therefore, they're mixed. They're mixed. They have some. They're mixing in Krishna with Maya. So they get the benefit for, to whatever percentage. Krishna reciprocates. Yayitamam prapadyate tamksitaga vajamyam. As they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So if someone surrenders partially, 30%, he gets 30% reciprocation. If he surrenders 100%, like Draupadi surrendered 100%. She threw up her hands. Krishna, Govinda, I have no other shelter other than you. My husbands have all forsaken me. My elders have all forsaken me. Everyone has forsaken me. The demigods, now only you. So she came to some wonderful... She was already a devotee. So she's like, this verse describes. She was already a devotee, but this calamitous situation caused her to become even more devoted. Therefore, sometimes calamities can be beneficial. Kunti prays, that's a different verse. This one, she prays, my dear Lord, please let all the calamities come.
Yeah.
Because when the calamities come, then we can remember you. It's more easy. And she's Deepadaksantu Takshashva Tatra Tatra Jagadguru. Yes, let the Vipada means things that they go against their calamities. They go against what we would want to happen. So she's praying, yes, let the calamities come. Vipadaksantu Shashva Tatra Tatra Jagadguru. Because when they come, then you also come. Because we take shelter of you more in the calamitous situation. Second?
And then you're just discussing about the spontaneous...
Oh, you're just discussing about the spontaneous combustion, the natural attraction between when we're in different genders, bodies with different genders. You have a male body and you have a female body and they come together and the mind just goes... spontaneously. So here we are. We're not in the forest, like you mentioned, Rishi Sringa. We're trying to prosecute this process, and our mission is to organize and to encourage all society, and that includes all classes, male and female, and devotional service, and to make arrangements for them, encourage them. So that means, here we are, you know, Prabhupada made arrangement in our temples because there's not protection in society for women. And he said, and he actually said to devotees that, you know, wherever you go, you're going to be around women in this world. And this idea of just completely disconnecting yourself from women completely is, what did he say? False? He said this is, so here we are and endeavoring, you know, to take part in this preaching mission. And you can see that sometimes you really have to tolerate that crazy mind. You have realization, this body is just a skeleton, and you can meditate on it when you're not around the Madhiji. But when you're around some certain Madhiji, certain ones, the mind just...
And so the question is?
So, you know, what to... So here we are in a catch-22.
Catch Hare Krishna.
And we got to struggle with that.
We take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Savailana Krishna Padada Vinlayo. Bhagavure Manashi Nanda Nanda Abhaya Charanaravindare. Fearless at the lotus feet of the Lord. That's the only place. Yes, question over here.
Question from Manchester, UK. What is the original form of the individual spirit soul, and how does it remain as a tiny fragment as described in the scriptures? Or, and does it remain as a tiny fragment as described?
The original form of the soul. Of course, every soul has his relationship with Krishna. And as we get material bodies in the material world according to our desire, the body grows around the soul. In the spiritual world, the spiritual form is there to facilitate the living entity's relationship with Krishna. And as far as in the material world, the living entity, his form is there, but it's covered now by this material body. As far as the dimension of the soul, it is given, Keshakra Shatabhagasya Shatada Kalpitasyata, 1/10,000th the size of a tip of a hair. That's a kind of an estimate. In other words, it's very, very small. It's not invisible, we heard that before. Cannot be seen, cannot be burned, cannot be cut. Therefore, it's not material. Because if it actually had some material designation like that, then you could put it in a fire, and no matter how small it was, and it would be extinguished. It would somehow or other be burned. But it doesn't become burned. So this is to give us an idea that it's spiritual. That's the main point here. Not that it's, it's really, really small. Let's keep getting a smaller, a more powerful microscope. No, you will not be able to see it even if you get the most powerful microscope. So the scientists, their method of trying to see the soul or see God is doomed. It will not work. Ataksi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriya. That means the senses are unable to perceive the Lord and His qualities.
This is a question from London. Is it possible to recognize a devotee simply by examining his external activities, education, or degree, or wealth, or degree of wealth?
No. No. The devotee can be perceived not by the externals, but by his devotion and by what he speaks, so what he acts and what he speaks. Achar prachar. In other words, he may speak nicely, but if he behaves in a way that is not in accord with the scriptures, then he cannot be accepted. On the other hand, he may behave very nicely, but if he speaks in a way that's not in accord with the scriptures, then he also can't be accepted. A well-dressed fool is undetected until he speaks, according to Chanakya Upanishad. Then when he speaks, everybody knows, wait, look what he's speaking. Maybe you've seen sometimes someone like that. They're very nicely dressed, and then they speak, and they're speaking incoherently. So immediately you have to, he looked great, but now, look what he's speaking.
Question from Manchester, UK. If we render as much devotional service as we can now, would it automatically increase to the satisfactory amount in the future?
Would it automatically increase to a satisfactory amount? Yes, it's already satisfactory. If one is doing the best he can, then Krishna is pleased with that. He wants, we may be starting at a low level, but if we're trying our best, that's good. And Krishna will reciprocate. He will, it's like a spark. You cannot expect a spark to be a blazing fire. It's just a spark. But if it's fanned carefully, then it can grow. So we make the effort, and Krishna will make, he'll do his part. Prabhupada said, if you distribute one Bhakti Gaudiya magazine, Krishna takes, that's like one step back towards Krishna. So if you distribute one Bhakti Gaudiya magazine, Krishna takes 10 steps towards you. Each step you take, Krishna takes 10 towards you. Therefore, he's doing his part 10 times more than you. So if we make a little effort, or a lot of effort, then yes, it's very good, and that will be satisfactory. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.